Chapter 20. Jesse saw Courtney's Lexus pull into the Wilberforce School parking lot from his spot across the street. She negotiated the left turn while holding her cell phone to her ear. Jesse stepped out of his cruiser and walked to the lot. Courtney was slowly circling it, looking for a parking space. When she spotted him, she slammed on her brakes and dropped the phone. Jesse approached the car, and when he was beside it, he motioned for her to get out. She opened the door and stepped out. "What?" she said. "Pick up the phone and hand it to me." "Pick it up yourself." Jesse noticed that they had attracted the attention of a number of students who milled around, watching. "Please hand me your driver's license and your car keys."
"Why?"
"Because you have now officially lost your right to operate a motor vehicle."
"What are you talking about?"
"License and keys," Jesse said.
"No,"
she said. Jesse took out his cell phone and punched in a number. When Molly answered, he asked her which officer was closest to the Wilberforce School. When she named Rich Bauer, Jesse instructed her to have him get to the school parking lot as quickly as possible. Then he stood silently, staring at Courtney. She became uneasy. She was the centerpiece of a spectacle that was now appearing before nearly half the student body.
"What's going on?" she said.
Jesse didn't respond. Within moments, Bauer's cruiser entered the lot, siren blaring. He pulled to within inches of where Jesse was standing and got out of the car.
"What's up, Skipper?"
"Please take Ms. Cassidy into custody. Read her her rights and then escort her to jail."
"You can't do that," Courtney said. "I'm at school."
"Do it, Rich," Jesse said.
Bauer approached Courtney, who backed away. He was forced to follow her until she finally stood still. Then he took his handcuffs from his service belt and cuffed her. She started to cry. After he read Courtney her rights, he walked her to his cruiser and placed her in the back seat. Then he got in and drove away. Jesse phoned the station. When Molly answered, he said, "Have Smitty come and impound Courtney's Lexus, which is in the parking lot of the Wilberforce School."
"Oh, baby," Molly said.
Jesse didn't say anything.
"I'm on it," she said.
Jesse looked around at the gawkers.
"Break it up," he shouted. "It's over."
The students began to disperse. Jesse retrieved an evidence bag from his cruiser. He put on a rubber glove and picked up Courtney's cell phone. He placed it in the evidence bag. He called the DA's office. Smitty's flatbed was just pulling into the parking lot as Jesse was leaving. He handed the car keys to the driver. Then he walked back across the street, got into his cruiser, and drove away. "Third offense," Jesse said to D.A. Aaron Silver. They were sitting in Silver's office, accompanied by Marty Reagan.
"I thought Marty asked you to drop this," Silver said.
"I'll ignore that remark," Jesse said. Silver sighed.
"I'll settle for a 1-year suspension of her driving privileges, which is state law," Jesse said. "Also, the largest fine allowable."
Silver didn't say anything.
"Probation would also be good. It would keep her in the system and place her under our supervision."
"Meaning?" Reagan said.
"Community service might prove invaluable to this child. Give her the opportunity to see how things really are."
"No judge would sanction it," Silver said.
"I'd like a hearing just the same," Jesse said. "Perhaps I could convince him or her."
"I'll see what I can do," Silver said.
Jesse sat for a while.
"What?"
Reagan said.
"It's as if she can't control herself," Jesse said.
"She appears to be demanding attention and doing it in a way that can't be ignored."
"I said I'll see what I can do," Aaron Silver said.
"Just do the right thing," Jesse said. "We've got a troubled kid on our hands."